It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And the stream is streaming and the packets are passing and it's Titanic Tuesday on the horn. Yeah. It is in fact the 15th day of November 2022. This is the horn. Headon.live is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for listening to the podcast, and for listening to the program live, for listening on TuneIn, despite their ads, for which we get paid precisely bupkis. But thank you. And thank you, Theo, in the chat room. Cheers, Miss Robin. Cheers, Theo. Thanks for that. Oh, let's see. If you pop by the chat room right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers, Squeaky and Anatole and Theo, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. And he is capably assisted by his pal and neighbor to the not so terribly, terribly distant north, Roger in Oregon. Did I do the hi, I'm Robin part? Yeah, because hi, I'm Robin. And like I said, it's Titanic Tuesday, and every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So that means that on this here 15th day of the month, halfway through November, we are saying thank you to our 15th day of the month subscribers. That's Robert and Nagla. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much. And, you know, you're an integral part of keeping this little independent, liberal, non-corporate, non-capitalist broadcast effort on the air. Now, fundraising-wise, here, halfway through the month, we are in the hole to the tune of $1,130. So that's rough. That's difficult. And program note, no program tomorrow, so that makes it even harder than it otherwise would be. But just the same, if we can knock some of that out, I will, and frankly, the rest of the community will be very much grateful. Because it's tough when it's like this. When, you know, because, like I said, the cold weather's here. It's 73 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. But outside, outside's a different story. It's, pretty much dusk and 42 degrees. It's raining. It's going to turn to snow overnight. And, well, we're going to be absolutely savaged by Appalachian Power. I think that, you know, they're probably looking for another rate increase somewhere along the way. This is, like I said, the 15th of November, so that means at 9 o'clock tonight, oh my, don't know, it's a... I guess Dimwit Domitian, the Clementine Caligula, and what did I see some notable blue checkmark Twitter account refer to him the other day as? Mandarin Mussolini. Somebody's paying attention. Yeah. He's going to, I guess, announce his presidential candidacy. My guess is because he knows how hot the heat is, and he knows there are indictments coming, and in the weird and in the weird and twisted way in which his the spirochetes that swim around betwixt his ears and shriek at him day and night process information, he thinks he'll be less prosecutable, that somehow the fact that he announced a run for president means that he shouldn't be prosecuted for the crimes he very likely has committed. Well, they will, and I'm just going to be disappointed all over again. CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, none of them should carry him live. Fox News, I wonder if Fox News TV Radio Rwanda will do it. Because they're apparently not much of a fan these days. But it would be nice if it was met with no live coverage. That's probably not the best thing you might want to run out there, you know, bet on. But it is. It's Titanic Tuesday. It's a day for, and like I said, no program tomorrow. Let me say it again. No program tomorrow. I'm going to be away from the studio. But it's Titanic Tuesday, and that means that... that's the real question. Back to Nitwit Nero. Theo asking in the chat room, yeah, but wouldn't announcing an intention to run screw with his ability to have the RNC front money to him for those whopping legal bills? That's been the running understanding. And I don't know if maybe he's negotiated some way around it. Or, look, come on, who are we talking about? This is the guy with the very big brain.
The best genes, only the best genes.
He'll probably announce an exploratory committee or some such without actually declaring his candidacy, but he'll somehow make it sound to the maggots who are, you know, Atne Ute Aitbre, if you own a what I mean, they'll think he's off and running. And he will grift for all he's worth. Because that's the whole goal. Anyway, let me check something here. Just sent a message to Brother Deacon Asa because for some, it looks to me, at least from my end, like and maybe it's on my end, like there's domain name server issues with regard to the Horn website. But nobody else is telling me they're having problems, so it probably is me. We'll see. We'll just see, okay? But why, Darlene in Connecticut asks, why is this criminal orange asshole and what he says and does, including his constant criming, still being normalized by the corporate media? They never fucking learn. Well, I don't know that they never learn, Darlene. I mean, if it sells the soap, they runs the program.
And, well, you know, we saw from the firing of Tiffany Cross that there's a bit of a sea change in place at MSNBC. And maybe they don't want to hurt the delicate and tender fifis of the mango monstrosity. Oh, there it is, a billable Rick.
Robin, stop telling us that it's always about you.
Okay, Rick. Okay. Hey, man, I hope you and Brian had a wonderful day up on Mount Rainier. It didn't look like it was good golfing weather, but maybe if you use those really bright fluorescent orange golf balls. I don't know. Okay, so it's not just me. Ralphs tells me I just tried the Horn website and it appeared funky. So I'm glad to know it's not just you. Now, I wonder if it's a Winders thing. I don't know. Loud and clear on HeadOn.live. Thank you, Lee in New York. So, like I said, it's Titanic Tuesday, a day for taking note of manifestations of tremendous Titanic attempts at intellect on the part of the right wing. Hey, look, there's an iceberg. Let's ram it! That just encapsulates. Okay. That just encapsulates right-wing cogitation. There it is. Billable Rick answering a question from earlier. We all thought it was, Jude mentioned it was a song that Billable and I both like, and I posited the guess that it was Back in the USSR by the Beatles, but no, it wasn't. Bilbo says, the song on Friday at SeaTac Airport was Al Stewart's Road to Moscow. Aha. Yeah, before Year of the Cat, that got a little bit of chart attention and was, that was off of the Modern Times album. Which also yields up, like I said, one of my favorite lyrics about November. I got Earth, Wind, and Fire in September. In November, it's the kind of gray November day that washes away reflections in the eyes of hotel porters, and the lattice wooden benches by the sea contain no travelers or Irish lady authors, and the girl in the raincoat walks the lanes of Brighton with her collar turned against the wind, and huddles in doorways of secondhand bookshops among the dust and fading print. Damn, that's just such an amazingly evocative... Yeah, right. And from the Department of Here We Go Again, murdering with impunity continues. Ron and Raleigh sent us a note to get us started. The U.S. Today has decided to investigate the murder of American journalist Shireen Abu. Shireen Abu Akleh last May. The Israeli government has changed their story about what happened three times, initially claiming it a Palestinian shot her during a gun battle. And then they said, no, the IDF shot her during a firefight with Palestinians. And then they looked at the video, and that didn't add up. And they came to their third story, which was, it's inconclusive. We don't really know. Defense Minister Benny Gantz has stated that the U.S. investigation is a grave mistake and that Israel will not participate in the violation of their internal affairs. Gantz essentially stood at his press conference with his hand out while telling the U.S. to kiss his ass. Ron says, I'll venture a guess that the result of the U.S. investigation will not bring any justice to the family of Ms. Akleh, and we will continue to fund this murderous regime, which will be even more vicious now that the psycho Bibi, qu'est-ce que c'est, has been reelected with more right-wing coalition. Palestinian blood will flow from American help. The U.S. is the only country that can stop the bloodletting, but we won't. Which leads to a second story in the news today, because today's story, it felt like today's program would have kind of a Ukrainian flavor to it. The the Israeli government called the Ukrainian ambassador to Israel in to dress him down because Ukraine participated in a vote in favor of a call for Israel to end its occupation of the West Bank. Israel did not like this. But then again, when Ukraine needed Israel to step up for them, Israel was like, nah, I don't think so. So there's a little tit for tat going on. And it's, to say the least, the temperature is a little warm over there. Not climatologically, but certainly geopolitically. That thing which many of us have long feared could lead to a lot worse things has happened. Two Polish nationals, two Polish citizens, were killed in the last 24 hours or so. They were killed, apparently, by a Russian missile attack, because as Mother Russia's thugs and punks and dead-enders and hard cases and crooks and, you know, whatever scum Putin could cobble together for his illegal invasion of Ukraine, as they retreated, because they're getting their asses handed to them, well, Mother Russia responded by attacking civilian infrastructure with a massive missile barrage as big as anything that they've done since the beginning of the war. And one of those missiles, apparently, as many had feared, somehow managed to not land in Ukraine or hit in Ukraine, but instead Poland. And so nations that were already on the edge are even more so now with, now let me pull the story up here. Heads of state in the Baltic region saying every inch of NATO territory must be protected because there's a growing sense that Putin has, well, folks were worried about him to begin with, and they're afraid that he's slipped a gear, and that as Russia becomes less and less in charge of the situation, that he may be more and more likely to do something monstrously stupid. He's isolated. He doesn't have a lot of contact with his leadership. And, well, I guess something went a little funny. You know, funny. With one of their missiles, and it went to Poland instead of Ukraine. And, yeah, that's worrisome. Indeed. So basically, Europe is on edge. There is fear that there is a sort of dissolution taking place in the Kremlin. A bunker mentality has long since set in. And one hopes that cooler heads will prevail. The U.S., meanwhile, is trying to walk back some comments made by Joint Chiefs of Staff Chair General Mark Milley, who said that where peace is a possibility, peace must be grasped with both hands. and is made mouth noises like he wanted the United States to maybe negotiate a separate peace. We saw how that worked out with that little fella back in, 1938? In what was then Czechoslovakia? Oh, no, just let him have it. No, it's okay. No. Neville Chamberlain will go over and negotiate a separate peace, and that's all, yeah. It is worrisome, to say the least. Worrisome. So, watch and wait. And worry. Let me see here. Getting some tech instructions from... Ah, yes, thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. The chat room is back to looking normal. He instructed me to do a control refresh. And things look like they're supposed to look now. Oh, wow, we got a moderating party going on in the chat room. Pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, has entered the fray. Not that there's much of a fray. Sorry, Poland, Leah New York says, Putin can claim it was Bergen Basement unguided missile. It's just an unfortunate accident. The missile goes up, who knows where it comes down. It's not my concern, says Vladimir Putin. The rhyme was originally written for Werner von Braun. So that's all of that. Now, apparently a bunch of barking and grunting and hooting on the part of the Freedom Caucus has come to naught because the House Republicans voted today and they nominated Man of Silly Putty, Kevers McCarthy, to be Speaker of the House. He still has a bit of a row to hoe. It was the Republicans who will be in the next Congress who voted. And, the Feedum Caucus is not quite as cohesive as they've usually been. Marginal Trailer Queen, she of the Jewish space lasers, she's breaking because Andy Biggs, the other maggot prince in the House, I guess she's the maggot princess and he's the maggot prince. Andy Biggs challenged Kevers McCarthy, got all of 38 votes. 31 votes. Kevers got 188, but Marginal Trailer Queen, on the other hand, said that she was of the opinion, as if she has enough brains to have an, well, no, she's got opinions. They're not just backed up by a lot of brains, though. She went on Stevie Three Shirts' tawdry little podcast, The War Room. They always like to talk about war. Yesterday, and she said that undermining Kevers was bad strategery. Because, Marge has been a couple of nearly 2 years, her entire tenure in the House so far, without a seat in any committees. So the fact that she broke with the Freedom Caucus, Freedom! To support Kevers sounds like, speaking of the term we were using only moments ago, she has made a separate peace. And Lord only knows what the deal is. Because it wasn't that long ago that she was saying, they're going to have to seriously kiss my ass. And it sounds like Kevers may have puckered up. Who knows? But here's the thing. It's not a done deal because this is just the Republican nomination for the job. The entire House of Representatives, after the new Congress is sworn in, the entire House of Representatives votes on who will be the speaker. And there are still some people who don't want Kevers McCarthy, man of silly putty, to lead them. And among other things, that, representing Don Bacon, he's from Nebraska, Stan. NBC News talked to him, and he said, I would work with some Democrats to elect a moderate Republican to the speakership if we can't get together behind a candidate. Because, you see, that's the thing. At 188 votes, if the Freedom Caucus stands pat, at 188 votes, Kevers doesn't have enough votes to win. Hell, Nancy might have enough more votes than them. So now, among other things, desperate, the maggots were peg lickings in the House, some of them, have decided to go and have a chat with Henry Cuellar of Texas, the last anti-choice Democrat on the national scene, to switch parties and come over and bark and grunt and hoot and moan with the maggots. That's interesting. I wonder if he'd put the shiv to Nancy Pelosi, considering everything that she did for him. It would be some dirty-ass skullduggery for him to do it. This is a real watch this space kind of moment. The LA Times interviewed Representative Mike Garcia from Santa Clarita. His race hasn't been called yet, but he's in the lead over his Democratic challenger. He said, we're going to be able to get things done regardless of how thick our majority is, but we've got to be unified as a team. Yes, Emilio, absolutely. Kevin McCarthy has a road of hoes. How did that happen? He's the man of silly putty. He might be caught doing some nasty things, like, you know, maybe participating in an insurrection or some such. But a sex scandal is the one thing that never particularly struck me as something that Kevers would be involved in, because that would have to involve at least a modicum of passion. This is about as close, I guess, as we're going to get to that news article we wanted to see. You know, Republicans in disarray. And there's talk of, you know, gridlock. Come January, nothing getting done. And I love how the LA Times compares the infighting inside the GOP with the Democratic side. Current Speaker Nancy Pelosi, D. San Francisco, knows the challenges well as she has had to navigate between Democrats, moderates, and progressives with a narrow majority. Even in a relatively straightforward story about infighting inside the Republican Party, bless their hearts at the LA Times, they can't resist a little bit of both-siderism. Both sides do it! But the thing is, Nancy Pelosi has never had to navigate between moderates and progressives in her party, up to and including having members who talked about Jewish space lasers. Or Q-ballery. Or hoping that Q is real. Jesus. Well, I hope it's just a long line of Excedrin headache number 6,322.69. Trump may yet be speaker, says Randy Radar, and then they'll work on impeaching Biden and Harris. Yeah, but they can't do that. I mean, with whatever majority they wind up, I guess, yeah, they could win a narrow vote to impeach. But it ain't going nowhere in the Senate. And apparently not everybody is on the is on board with the with all the goofy impeachment talk. Oh, and big news, big-ish news out of almost level West by Coal Manchinistan today. Wanting to, I guess, get out in front of things. Newly reelected member of the House, Alex Looney Mooney, said, "Yep, I'm gonna run." And you heard it here first, y'all. He confirmed that he will run for the Republican nomination for Senate in 2024 to then run against Joe Manchin. I'm sorry. I can hear the moaning and groaning and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. I've done it too. But we really don't have much of a bench here in West Virginia on the Democratic side. We used to, but back when the Democratic Party became a cult of personality for Joe Manchin, the bench kind of dried up and blew away. And we had us a red wave here, didn't have, you know, Florida and West Virginia, red wave, we. But Looney Mooney has announced his candidacy, and he will have and this is a complex political science term, shit ton of money with which to attack Joe Manchin. And there's some stuff there. Anatole says, "I miss Rockefeller." Hell, Anatole, I miss Bob Byrd. But back when the census data came through, and we had a primary in May, a guy named David McKinley, who had held a House seat down for a while, basically the Morgantown area, and Looney Mooney, who held another House district. Well, we lost a district is what it boils down to, so we went from three House districts to two. And that meant that Looney Mooney and David McKinley had to square off against each other. I don't know how Carol Miller missed out on that, but oh well. And so, being the maggot that he is, Looney Mooney had plenty of money. Oh, and by the way, if you ever want a study in labor screwing up And I don't say this simply on my own hook. You know, I'm not a member of a labor union or anything, but this one was kind of obvious. Labor in West Virginia got behind David McKinley back when he still had his own district. Democrats ran good candidates against him, but labor in West Virginia, inexplicably or explicably, backed the Republican. And they were staunch. And my pal, Boss Man Wayne, was near apoplectic over it. What in God's name is labor doing backing a Republican? Good question. But nonetheless, McKinley ran against Mooney. And Joe to the mansion born put all of his political clout into supporting McKinley. And then we had a primary. And Looney Mooney beat McKinley like he owed him money. Beat him like a borrowed mule. Whipped him and then made him ask for more. Which, to some observers, indicated that there might be a soft and tender place somewhere in Joe Manchin's armor. Looney Mooney apparently thinks so. And so by announcing now, he's ready to roll, ready to fundraise. And you know what? He's got a shot. But like I said, we don't have a bench. And so primarying Joe Manchin will be a fool's errand, because Joe Manchin will win the Democratic primary. He can at least crush who, but I don't know if they'll do the same thing in 2024 that they did in 2018 and have some outside, out-of-state group find a political amateur to run against Joe. It was a good racket. It really was. You know, fundraise on primarying Joe Manchin and then funnel those monies into other races. Cynical, but good. So there's actually a chance. Okay, let me explain something else. Looney Mooney is not actually a West Virginian. Oh, he's been a member of the House from West Virginia for a couple of terms. But dude is from over near the Eastern Panhandle. Remember, West Virginia, if you use your right hand and put it palm out and make an obscene gesture with it, that's West Virginia, and the thumb is the Eastern Panhandle. And the Eastern Panhandle shares a border with Maryland. At one point in time, Looney Mooney was the chair of the Maryland Republican Party. But he ran a few races and got his ass handed to him. And so then, seeing the writing on the wall, he decided that he would walk across the street and become a West Virginian. Of course, I'm a proud supporter of the University of West Virginia. I don't know that he ever said that. Probably would. Guy knows less about West Virginia than than any or all of the people who actually participate in this community, because if nothing else, over the course of the near 20 years that I've been on the air, you've gotten a master class in, what it's like to be a hillbilly. So, in fact, he's a fake hillbilly. Which means it's actually possible that in January of 2025, if he beats Joe Manchin, there will actually be two fake fake hillbillies in the Republican caucus in the Senate. Looney Mooney, and of course, Jerk Deluxe, fake hillbilly Vance. How about that, sports fans? So that's the thing that happened today. By the way, going back to Ukraine, Flavio points out not just Poland was affected. The missile barrage also affected neighboring Moldova. It reported massive power outages after the strikes knocked out a key power line that supplies the small nation, an official said. Yeah, it's the dead Poles that are worrisome, along with the attack on civilian infrastructure. There are calls for a war crimes investigation against Putin and his horde of punks and thugs and ne'er-do-wells. We in New York, Trump, Speaker of the House, he's a barely coherent mumbler.
Well, that he is, and he's got that. He wouldn't talk like this except for, like, you know, all the Adderall. His sinuses are probably a mess.
Randy Radar, my goodness gracious, you are a cynical soul. What do you bet that one of our missiles will go funny in Iran? I rather hope we don't. But speaking of missiles, the United States Navy interdicted a fishing vessel in the, I think, the Arabian Sea. And they seized, and again, this is a complicated scientific term of measurement, a shit ton of ammonium perchlorate and urea fertilizer on a fishing boat. The Navy seized it all. One high-ranking naval officer pointed out that that was enough material, explosive material, because it is, for at least a half dozen medium-range missiles, ballistic missiles. I could not see ammonium perchlorate without immediately thinking about, you know, the war on Appalachia that takes place here every day. And that half a dozen, I think it was a half a dozen. Let me check here. Let's get rid of Looney Mooney. Bye. Was it a half a dozen? I like to get things right. Oh, I'm sorry, a dozen. A dozen medium-range ballistic missiles. The theory being that Iran is shipping this stuff to Yemen's Houthi rebels to fight back against the Saudis. But the funny thing is, you know, a dozen medium-range ballistic missiles? Really? That's about half of an average blast on a mountaintop removal site here. Yeah. The United States Navy will take more interest in interdicting explosive materials in the Arabian Sea than the entire United States government will take in the ongoing day-by-day war against the people of Central Appalachia, you know, Southern West Virginia, Southwest Virginia, Eastern Kentucky, Northeastern Tennessee. I'm sorry, I just had a ludicrous little moment when I read the story, and I could see the fishermen looking at the sailors going, no, we're coal miners. No, we're just taking this ammonium perchlorate over to, well, we're gonna We're going to mine for coal in the Arabian Peninsula. We're going to go and blow up some mountains, you know, just like y'all do in America. God bless George Washington. I'm sorry, my mind just works that way. And I'm having, you know, it's one of those situations where you really don't want either side to win, and you hope they just beat the piss out of each other. Because it's hard to root for the Saudis under any set of circumstances. And, well, if Iran and Iran, oh, no, of course we're not supplying ammonium perchlorate to the Houthi rebels. You know, why would we do something like, oh, we love the Saudis. They've been hating on each other since the 7th century A.D. Not to haul out that tired old canard that came, you know, from Vietnam. And, oh, they've been fighting forever. But, no, really. There's been no love lost since the 7th century. It's about, 1,400 years. And no relief in sight. West Virginia never had a red wave, Lee in New York says. Joe Manchin built a dam on the Blue River. Yeah, it's curious you would mention that. We have something that rhymes with Blue River, New River. But we've also got a river called the Blue Stone River. Thanks, Lee. Scenario, Stephen New York says, subject line speaker. New Congress, hypothetical numbers, Pelosi gets 215, McCarthy gets 200, someone else gets 20. What happens? Do they keep voting till someone gets a majority? Is the vote the vote? Yeah, I think once you vote, you voted. Somebody, God, that would be a delicious rat fuck, wouldn't it? Oh, the maggot caucus cannot be that stupid, can they? Really? They'll get their shit together. Surely to goodness. I like that idea. Flavio pointing out that Elizabeth Warren is saying that Democrats should use the lame duck session to raise or altogether abolish the debt ceiling so that Republicans can't use it for blackmail. Well, debt ceiling, maybe that wouldn't require a 60 vote threshold. But like we talked about in yesterday's program, there's talk of passing marriage protection, and at the very least, a continuing resolution to keep the government going so that people don't get furloughed right before Christmas. That's the kind of a dick move that you could expect from Republicans. Marginal trailer queen has already said she wants to shut the government down. Yeah. Like I said, we got a busy little Tuesday ahead of us. See, what else? Oh, this is fun from the Department of I Hope It Doesn't Hurt Too Little. We've remarked in the past that you can name a pack just about anything. Like, oh, maybe the elect Walker pack, but it doesn't have to give any money to, say, Hirsch. NBC News reported that at least four committees... one of them, a grifting effort from Mandarin Mussolini. Four committees claiming to raise money on behalf of Herschel Walker have kept 90% of the money that was solicited for him. God, God, is this the 2022 version of Herschel's 40 acres and a mule? Oh, no, Herschel, we're going to raise a lot of money. Yeah, we're just not going to give you any of it. The NBC News article points out that when people give to these sketchy, dodgy outfits, they don't necessarily know how much of it's actually going to go to the candidate, even though it's said it to be the Elect Walker pack. And it's beginning to irk the Walker campaign. Maybe the light's going on and they realize that he has been, Fields' three commandments. You can't cheat an honest man. Never give a sucker an even break. And everybody say it with me. Third commandment. Don't smarten up a chump. Well, it looks like maybe, just maybe, the chump has gotten smartened up. And so Herschel's campaign manager is some dude named Scott Paradise. I wonder if when he's sitting in his car at night and presses the little button, people give him a noogie and say, "Look, Paradise by the dashboard light." Ah! Well, they'd have to be at least my age to do that, so maybe not. But Scott Paradise said, "We need everyone focused on winning the Georgia Senate race and deceptive fundraising tactics by teams that just won their races, siphoning money away from Georgia. This is the last fight of 2022, and every dollar will help. The companies and consultants raising money off this need to cut it out. Cut it out, y'all. Quit it. Why keep putting my head in this here toilet and flushing it? Quit it." Oh, the light went. This is just beautiful. The goddess of irony. It's a sweet little gift. The campaign said it first noticed the problem Saturday when former President Donald Trump's Save America sent out an email that asked prospective donors to contribute any amount immediately to the official Georgia runoff fundraising goal and increase your impact by 1,200%. There was a little button that said click here to edit your allocation amount. But the default was set to 90% for Nitwit Nero and 10% to Herschel. Well, when they got busted, they changed it to 50-50.
Well, I raised it for him. I should get half.
Scott Paradise said to... Oh, that's extremely helpful, and it's what we request others to do. At least give us half! Guess who else is hustling on Herschel's back? Yeah, the fake hillbilly, J.D. Vance. God, this is a skeevy, grifty lot, isn't it? And they figured out they were getting grifted by grifters. Who could ever have imagined? And Ted Budd in North Carolina, they also, both the fake hillbilly and Ted Budd, defaulted to the 90-10 split. But then when the Walker campaign reached out, they changed it to 50-52. Ain't that sweet? The chair of the North Carolina GOP is Michael Whatley. He said, "Well, anything we raise is going to be put into deployments down into Georgia. We'll definitely be sending teams." Sure you will. If they win, they'll be thrilled. Kinda. Then they'll go to work on figuring out just exactly how they're going to manage Herschel. Kind of hard to work with a fella who stands around with his mouth hanging open, catching flies all the time. When the fake hillbilly campaign up in Ohio, wow, you're in Ohio, you just won a race for Senate, and you're still out there hustling money on the back of a black man. Don't have a hell of a lot of sympathy for Herschel, but that doesn't change the dynamic, and it certainly doesn't change the look. I mean, this is kind of reminiscent of Ma and Pa Kettle. Never a bad time for this. You know, when they do the math. Yeah, this is... Yeah. Just imagine this is the Herschel Walker campaign. And that Ma and Pa Kettle are the... Oh, let's say the J.D. Vance and Trump campaign. Shall we? Yeah. Sucker! Yeah.
Now, I'll read it to you. It starts out, witness it, just like it should start. This agreement entered into this 20th day of July, year of 1950, between Pa Kettle, party of the first part, Ma Kettle, party of the second part, and Billy Reed, Geoduck, and Crowbar, parties of the third part, fourth part, and fifth part. The aforesaid parties of the first part and second part agrees to part with part of their part to the parties of the third part, fourth part, and fifth part. It is also agreed that all parties are to do their part to keep the agreement made between the parties of the first part, second part, third part, fourth part, and fifth part. That's only the agreement in part.
You got enough parts there to make an automobile. Have some left over.
Now, should the first party and second party become a party to anything not agreeable to the third party, fourth party, and fifth party, the first party and second party shall be liable to the third party, the fourth party, and the fifth party.
Hold on, Billy. That's enough. I've had too many parties already.
Of course, that's just a rough draft.
When you get it smoothed out, we won't understand it any better.
Now, about the percentage. I figure 75% to you, Pa and Ma. And 25% divided between the five of us. Yiduck, Crowbar, myself, Tom, and the baby. That makes 5% for each one of us.
Billy, you're cheating yourself. If there's 25% divided among the five of you, that's 14% apiece.
Oh, no, listen, Pa. I wouldn't cheat you. You know I wouldn't. Now, look. Look here. I'll show you. Let me rub this out here. And now.
God, I love the chalkboard gag.
Divided by 5 is 5. You see, 5 won't go into 2, will it? No. But 5 goes into 25 5 times, you see?
No, you're wrong, Billy. Now, I'm a pretty good mathematician. Now, 5 into 25, 5 won't go into 2, will it?
No.
But 5 goes into 5 once. Now, we didn't use the 2 before, so we bring it down here. Now, 5 into 20 goes 4 times. There you are. 5 into 25, 14.
No, look, Pa. Let me prove it to you now by multiplication. 5... times 5, 5 times 5 is 25.
Billy, I'm surprised you're learning.
Huh?
I'm surprised that you're learning. Now I'll show you. 5 times 14 is 25. 5 times 4 is 20. 5 times 1 is 5. 25. That's it.
No, no. Look, Ma. See, look, you're wrong there because I'll prove it to you. We'll put down five 14s here. 14, 14, 14. There. Now, I'll prove to you by addition that five 14s is not 25. 4, 8. 12, 16, 20.
21, 22, 23, 24, 25. There you are. Better brush up, Billy. I don't want to see you boys cheated.
Yeah.
Coral enamel repair can help repair acid.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, you may be right, Steve from Georgia Stan Herschel. Now that the balance of power does not hang in the balance, with Herschel being the deciding vote, the right's going to toss him away like yesterday's lunch. From your mouth to God's ear. I hope you're right. But there would be a value in having a 50-50 Senate. That means power sharing. And remember, they're always thinking about the next election. I'm a little less than sanguine on the idea that they'll just walk away. Well, that's the same thing, Lee, in New York. Crazy math reminds me of Abbott and Costello's 7 times 13 is 28. It's an old vaudeville bit. And they merrily stole from each other. And somebody else came up with it first, of course. And by the way, Stephen New York observing Poland. This is alarming, of course. Scenario 1, we assume it was unintentional, no Article 5. Scenario 2, assume it was intentional. Is this enough to invoke Article 5? Scenario 3, we assume it was not intentional or intentional. What if it happens again? And I suspect that's where we're going to wind up. Because once is an accident, twice is a big coincidence, and, well, three times is an act of war. Shit can go sideways in a straight-up hurry. And I think Pootie is counting on the idea that we're afraid he'll go nuke. And that will stay our hand. But he knows he can't just roll into Lithuania or Latvia or Poland. But he can do some nasty shit. And we might sit still for it. Or maybe we'll roll out some new sanctions. By the way, the U.S. intelligence officials have determined that Mother Russia deliberately delayed word of their massive retreat across the Dnipro River until after the midterms, because they didn't want anybody getting all excited about, you know, the Democrats being successful in their determination to support a country that was attacked without ever having provided any provocation. And by the way, a little news coming out of a local race out in L.A., Tracy tells me that Villanueva has conceded. Karen Bass is up north of 30,000 votes over Richard Caruso. So those are both good news. And we've crossed the top of the hour. It is, of course, Tuesday, which means we have the Green News Report, courtesy of Brad and Desi. And
I'd like to check in with that. Listen, if you want to engage in some conversation, I welcome you to do so. You know how to reach the program. The stress line is 844-843-4676, 844-843-4676 for anybody new to the program. 844-THE-HORN. And you can reach me, oh God, Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. One of the last remaining vestiges of Bob as we seek to, I don't know, it'd be great to have all vestiges of Bob disappeared by, say, December 31st. That would mean it was only 2 years. It only took 2 years to erase Bob. Maybe that can happen. Work is continuing on the new opener, thanks to Brother Deacon Asa and Lady B. Thank you both. Paradise, Billable Rick says, Rowan, I see what you did. Paradise by the dashboard light. Cowbell for you. Thank you. At least one other Meatloaf fan out there. How the speaker is chosen. Talking about the vote earlier. Lee tells us, when a Congress convenes for the first time, each major party conference or caucus nominates a candidate for speaker. Members customarily elect the speaker by roll call vote. Member usually votes for the candidate from his or her own party conference or caucus, but can vote for anyone, whether that person has been nominated or not. To be elected, a candidate must receive an absolute majority of the votes cast, which may be less than a majority of the full House because of vacancies, absentee members, or members who vote present. If no candidate receives the majority of votes, the roll call is repeated until a majority is reached and the speaker is elected. This could get interesting. Probably won't, but it could. Thanks, Lee. Thanks a bunch. Lee serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department on Speaker of the House elections this evening. So, yeah, we're 7 minutes into the second hour of the program. We're goose egging again. Fundraising goal is at $1,130. And we're at that frightening time of the month. God, if we could take it down some. Because it'll be one of those terrifying ones by Friday, even though I won't be here tomorrow. That won't go into the calculation. Everything helps. And I'll cross my fingers and we'll check in with Brad and Desi.
It's Tuesday, November 15, 2022.
We're racing forward to do our part to avert the climate hell that the UN Secretary General so passionately warned about earlier this week.
President Biden pledges U.S. leadership and funding at UN Climate Summit. U.S. and China resume formal climate negotiations, plus...
That result means Democrats would once again control the Senate.
Democrats hold on to thin Senate majority, holding line on U.S. climate policy.
All of those thin majorities and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
And let me tell you this even. If we were ready for the green agenda, I'll raise my hand right now, but we're not ready right now. We're not prepared. We're not ready right now. What we need to do is keep having those gas-guzzling cars.
Ladies and gentlemen, Georgia's Republican U.S. Senate candidate, Herschel Walker. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, the election that continues to inform our outlook on the climate. But first, we're stuck dealing with what happened in Florida.
Yes, we are. Hurricane Nicole caused an estimated $5 to $7 billion in damages after it slammed into Florida last week as a rare November hurricane, destroying roads, bridges, and dozens of beachfront buildings. That's according to AccuWeather.
So another billion-dollar plus storm as these things continue to pile up in recent years.
Yes, they do. In other news, as we go to air, Democrats have retained their razor-thin majority in the U.S. Senate, but control of the U.S. House is likely to narrowly go to Republicans. Congress matters because it will determine where and how quickly funding is deployed for climate and clean energy projects under President Biden's landmark climate law, the Inflation Reduction Act, and whether the U.S. will follow through on funding commitments to help developing nations adapt to the climate crisis. President Biden spoke at the United Nations Climate Summit, COP27, in Egypt on Friday, announcing that thanks to Democrats passing the Inflation Reduction Act, the U.S. is now on track to meet its pledge under the Paris Climate Agreement to cut its emissions 43% by 2030. Biden apologized for the U.S. withdrawal from the Paris Agreement during the Trump administration.
Good. He should.
And he urged major emitters that are responsible for man-made global warming, like the U.S., to move faster to cut greenhouse gas emissions to prevent overshooting 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming to avoid catastrophic impacts.
If we're going to win this fight, every major emitter nation needs to align with the 1.5 degrees. We can no longer plead ignorance to the consequences of our actions or continue to repeat our mistakes. Everyone has to keep accelerating efforts throughout this decisive decade.
Yes, we do. Of course, beginning with us, but hopefully what we're doing and that $400 billion we've allocated under the new bill is that encouraging the rest of the world to do the same?
It does seem to be helping. COP27 this year is focused on international climate finance under the Paris Agreement. That is getting rich nations that are primarily responsible for the crisis to boost funding to help poorer countries adapt to climate impacts and avoid becoming dependent on fossil fuels. After decades of resistance, there is some progress. Denmark pledged $500 million to finance adaptation in Namibia. Europe, the U.S., and Japan announced $20 billion to help Indonesia ditch coal. Overall, the U.S., U.K., Canada, and Australia are laggards on climate finance. Mm-hmm. Biden pledged that the U.S. will quadruple funding to help other nations fight climate change, increasing U.S. contributions to a climate resilience fund to $100 million, plus $150 million in new funding for adaptation and resilience projects in Africa. However, Congress must approve any new U.S. funding.
Exactly. The new Congress can stop all of that. Plus,
yep.
President DeSantis can just call it all off.
The U.S. also proposed launching an international carbon credit trading system, which would allow corporations to pay someone else to cut emissions. That would raise revenue for developing nations, but it was criticized as a way for rich countries to avoid taking responsibility for causing the climate crisis. And it matters because a new analysis from the Global Carbon Budget concludes that at current emissions rates, nations will likely burn through their remaining carbon budget in 9 years, causing the world to blow past that critical 1.5 degrees Celsius target under the Paris Agreement. Finally, some good news.
Thank you.
Biden's diplomacy blitz appears to be working. On Monday at the G20 meeting, the White House announced that the U.S. and China, the world's two biggest greenhouse gas emitters, will resume formal climate negotiations, which experts called a significant development, opening up a pathway for greater emissions cuts.
So the U.S. and China are talking again.
Yes.
About climate. There's that. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Come together right now over me.
Oh, and by the way, I didn't mention it, but I did notice that Carrie Lake ain't going to be the governor of Arizona, Stan, and we may have to take the Stan off of Arizona, Stan. They're decidedly purple. She done lost, and in fact, now the scorn is being heaped upon her. Kelly McBride will be the governor of Arizona. J- check in with MSNBC's coverage. Like I said, scorn.
I know. I mean, we have Mike Barnacle and Eugene Robinson.
It's
they're
great
still
to have
with
them
us.
Here. But you know, she was really mean to him.
She was. She called him a bastard.
She called him a bastard. She was always pointing her fingers like.
Yeah, she was getting
like,
right in his face.
Japping. I'm going to teach you how to be a jerk.
Yeah.
And all this, I felt really bad for him. And
yeah.
But you know, he weathered the storm.
He did.
He walked on.
He asked the questions.
He kept at it. But she was so mean to him.
Yeah.
I felt bad for him.
I did too. Vaughn?
Vaughn, you okay, Vaughn, this morning? Are you doing okay, Vaughn? Because she was awfully mean to you. Called you a bastard. Said that, like, you, I think you were bad, or maybe she said we were bad for American
evil.
Democracy. Evil. I don't know.
She's always in your face.
It had to be a rough.
Yeah, but I think she called him that once, and that's how many for Joe and Mika there? How many bastards?
How are you doing this morning? You feeling okay, Vaughn?
I think you guys and me were in the same camp. How about that? I think it made sense also to be here today with this announcement, if we may. Could I say something about Carrie Lake, you guys? Would that be okay?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, we'd love
go
that.
Go for it.
Okay. Look. Covered Carrie Lake for the better part of the last year and a half here. And I think it was perhaps fitting to be here across from Mar-a-Lago today. I finally flew yesterday from Arizona here. And essentially, though, I felt like it was covering Donald Trump's campaign of 2024, but in Arizona over the last year. She predicated her campaign on trying to sell the big lie and trying to sell the conspiracy theories. When she wonders how she lost this race, look at it. This is the third election cycle in a row in which Arizonans rejected Trumpism. In the final week of her campaign, who did she campaign alongside? She campaigned alongside Steve Bannon. She campaigned alongside one of the chief promoters of Pizzagate. She campaigned alongside an individual who promoted the notion of the war on white people. She campaigned alongside State Senator Wendy Rogers, who just earlier this year was here in Florida speaking at a white nationalist conference, somebody who frequently spews anti-Semitism. This is an individual who just last week called her Democratic opponent a pervert. This is an individual who suggested there should be perp walks for elections officials, criminal charges against individuals who oversaw COVID response in 2020 in Arizona. This is an individual who's celebrating putting a dagger into the, quote, the McCain machine. She asserted that Cindy McCain wants to end America. She called Mike Lindell one of the great patriots of our time. She said Dinesh D'Souza is one of the greatest patriots in America. She suggested Paul Gosar was the kind of lawmaker our founding fathers envisioned. She called the media the right hand of the devil, the scourge of the earth. But that doesn't sound like Donald Trump, I don't know what does. And ultimately, the big question was she going to be able to make that sell here? And the answer is no, according to Arizona voters. And when you look at that slate of election deniers, from Tudor Dixon to Tim Michaels to Jim Marchant in Nevada.
Tudor Dixon.
To Mark Fincham, she was the latest one to fall, essentially making it a clean sweep of those not only election deniers, gubernatorial candidates and Secretary of State candidates. And now Donald Trump is going to go and try to run on the very message that all these folks lost on.
So Vaughn, why don't you tell us, because you were out there, of course, yes, she did lose. It was a close race. But talk about how close America came to having a governor in a swing state that by all accounts, everybody was out there saying that she was actually an articulate version of Donald Trump, that she was actually smoother, more savvy. She knew how to work rooms. She campaigned all over the place. A lot of Democrats that came back and were very scared of this woman in a way they had not been scared of any political candidate I've seen since Donald Trump's emergence in 2015. I mean, they thought she was going to win and that she was going to be the heir apparent to Donald Trump.
And she was all those things. I mean, this is giving away my age here, but I grew up watching Carrie Lake on the local news on Fox 10 in Phoenix. She was the face of Phoenix television in the evenings there. And that was the belief that if there was somebody who was a little bit more refined, if you may, was able to present, you know, the Donald Trump message a little bit more cleanly, it was Carrie Lake here. And the Democratic opponent she was facing, Katie Hobbs, look, she never went toe to toe with with Carrie Lake on the debate stage. She was somebody who a great many folks were hesitant to support. By all accounts, she was a straightforward Democrat over her years in the state legislature. And yet, what happened with Arizona voters? They were paying attention. And guess what? It was a local leader, Kathy Petsis is her name. She was a local legislative district chairwoman, you know, one of those very nitty-gritty activist types there, who came from the more of the McCain era of Arizona Republican Party. And it was 3 days after Carrie Lake's primary victory, in which the Carrie Lake campaign account tweeted at her that she was the type of demographic that they did not need. She made it very clear that it was the McCain Republicans that they did not need. And when you're looking at a 20,000 vote difference here, the reality is that's exactly who Carrie Lake needed. And now the question is, where does she go from here? Where does the Arizona Republican Party, where does Kelly Ward, where do the likes of Mark Fincham go from here? Because Carrie Lake tweeted out last night that Arizonans know BS, but clearly Arizona voters called her out or on her own.
She actually said 4 days before Election Day, if there are any McCain Republicans in the room, get the hell out, calling John McCain a loser in the state of Arizona. Probably not.
God, wow. She out-maggoted King Maggot. Some of that I'd seen, but I hadn't. Darlene pointing out an error. Thank you. Thank you for being the corrections department, Darlene. Kelly McBride, I think you meant Katie Hobbs. I did mean Katie Hobbs. Ah. Sorry, we regret the error. And Ralphs just jumped in and said, I'll kick in $25 if somebody else has $25. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. Hopefully that will happen. Thank you to Lady B for jumping in. Thank you. Lady B says, I'm really surprised you didn't think of adding She's a Lady to your intro. Food for thought for a later time. You know what? Maybe it's not too late. That's solid. I never would have thought about that in a million years. So, yeah, that could be fun. Anything as long as it's not Aerosmith. You know what I mean. So let's run over and check in on the Skype line. Hey, Scott, how are you?
How are I? How you have the audacity to ask how are I?
Well, I mean, you're out there in civilization and everything.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. I got my people here with the palm fronds fanning me. It's just delightful.
Has the leaf blower guy been by lately?
Don't say anything about the leaf blower guy. He was here the other day, Wednesday or Thursday last week. That's enough. I don't know what he's blowing, if you'll pardon the expression, because
we going there that early, are we?
No, we don't have leaves. In my anywhere near me. I don't know. He's just blowing dust around, pollen mostly. But anyway, so how are you? Are you okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm moving into my low light funk, and you know, I worry about fundraising. Thank you to Roger in Ohio. Roger just met Ralph's challenge, so that means that we've gone from 11:30 down to 10:75. So that's awesome. So thank you, well, Roger.
I had to. I wasn't going to call in, and then you played the audio from the Ma and Pa Kettle movie.
I couldn't resist.
Oh, that, listen, that comes under the heading of guilty pleasures.
Yeah,
the movies are so stupid, they're funny. Marjorie Maine and what was the husband's name? Percy Kilbride, something like that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah, something like that.
And, I like, do you know which movie that clip was from?
I don't. I just looked up Ma and Pa Kettle Do Math.
Yeah, my favorite is, and I don't know if I'm conflating two movies, but one of the titles that I remember is Ma and Pa Kettle Go to Town, where they go from wherever they are to the big city, and they're just astonished at just how different things are. But there's one scene where they're in a department store, and there's a literal hideaway bed. You press a button on the wall and the bed comes out. And when you're not sleeping,
right,
you press a button on the wall and the bed goes back. And there's a family that comes in, another family with like 15 kids or something, and they're all fucking around with the, you know, the display, the merchandise on display. And it's just a hoot. I mean, that's good American fun. But now I want to rent a Ma and Pa Kettle movie because it was back of mind and now it's front of mind thanks to this program.
I don't think there's going to have to be any money change hands. There's lots of clips on YouTube.
Oh, but the joy is watching the whole thing.
True, but I think I saw something about watch all the Ma and Pa Kettle. I don't know. There's Freevee and Tubi and things like that out there now.
Yeah.
It's surprising what you can. I mean, I was talking with you remember our buddy Dan Fisher?
Oh yeah, in New York.
He had a Rankin cooking shows list. He's so good at those. And I couldn't help chiming in on Bourdain because I noticed that the first Bourdain series, A Cook's Tour, is available for just viewing at your leisure on Amazon. So we watched those first two seasons, and it's a lot. The production values are not nearly what they were later on. You know, when he went to work for the Travel Channel or God knows CNN. But there's a sort of edginess to it, you know, and it's wild to think about because. You know, I guess maybe he was like 40, 42 when he got the opportunity, and he's a very different guy by the time, you know, the end comes.
Yeah, I am not that, I'm not that demographic. Food shows are just, I see them and I'll just flip past them to something that interests me. Because, see, two things. My food budget does not allow me for fancy dishes, okay? And then there's the problem, even if I had the food budget and the ingredients budget, I sure as hell don't have...
Are you lacking the talent budget?
No. I have plenty of talent. It's just that you need... devices and equipment and gear and special spoons and all of this.
The fact that you add in the special spoons.
Well, I mean, think about it. There's just, it doesn't seem to be aimed at me in terms of demographic. Hang on a second. I just, the best thing that ever came into being in my lifetime is the boiling bag. And I know that's anathema to a true gourmet or gourmand or whatever, but I just can't be bothered with all that. I just, when the
you just want a can of Senate Navy bean soup. That's all you want.
Well, now sometimes my aspirations are a wee bit higher, but what I'm saying is if it becomes if sustenance, you know, and nourishment and keeping body and soul together gets to the point of being an entertainment adventure, you've lost me, because that's not what it's about. I mean, I wouldn't imagine that the cave people thousands of years ago, they were lucky to eat. Not even a sideways glance did they attach any entertainment value. You know, I don't know. I'm the wrong demo. I'll move on from there.
Fair enough.
I had something I was going to ask you about, and as always, you've sidetracked me.
Sorry.
That's all right. It'll come to me. Well, I'm glad the elections are over.
They're over, but not. I mean, we're the
the maggots are standing on the precipice of their majority. And I'm really, you know, I'm really kind of hoping that, that, you know, the tip of the tip of the cliff falls off with, you know, like with Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, are we totally out of any mathematical possibility of?
It's almost a sure thing.
Even getting a tie in the house.
Yeah, it's almost for sure.
Well, that's on us then, and by us I mean right-thinking people. It goes back to I was telling somebody the other night. If the best we can manage is 47% of the people turning out to even take the time and interest to bother to vote, it's in a sense our own fault that it's this fucking close. It needn't have been, is what I'm saying. If we had each taken the situation with the seriousness and the gravity that it deserved, then we would have done better because we would have engaged. It's like Georgia. There are some people who are out there thinking, well, it's a 50-50 tie at this point. Why do we need one more? Well, we need one more because they were explaining on one of the shows, if it's a 50-50 tie, a lot of the rules that the Senate operates by are different than when there's an actual majority, like the composition of the committees. In a 50-50 tie scenario, each committee has an equal number of Democrats and Republicans. Wait, and where does that get you? Because you're not going to win anybody over from the Republican side. But if there's an out-and-out win, even if it's by one vote, that changes the way that committees are formed. And that's just one thing. And it was a golden opportunity that we did well in so many different ways, but we just couldn't quite apply enough oomph. Okay, that's an old technical political term, to do better than a 47% turnout.
Your point is well taken.
Now your throat's doing what my throat was doing.
It happens. Your point is well taken because when the fate of your locality, your county, your state, your country rests upon, I mean, turnout in my county was for shit. Here we are at 38, 39%. Okay, let's be generous and call it 40%. That means that 21% of the eligible voters selected who will be governed.
Yeah.
That's not democracy.
And the last time I checked, Virginia needed help on many levels. West Virginia needed help on many levels when it comes to the people who are in charge of their cities, states, counties, municipalities, and in the House and in the Senate. You know, long gone are the days when you could count on West Virginia to be a reliably Democratic state. I'm just saying that, you know, once the election day is over, you can't do anything about anything until at least 2 years later. So, you know, strike while the iron, as the old pants pressers union said when they held a work stoppage many years ago, strike while the iron is hot. Okay? So write that down. Put it on a little 3x5 card and post it somewhere where you can see it. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that we have hung on to the Senate. And, oh, by the way, I encourage people to do what I did in terms of lending some sort of tangible support to Reverend Warnock. I sent a meager contribution, but I want to help. I want to keep George's Senate seat blue, okay? And I'm going to do it again before the December 6th. We have got to have more than a 50-50 split was where I was going with the with the Senate. Because when you have the majority, the numeric majority, that changes some of the behind-the-scenes operating principles and rules in ways that are helpful and not hurtful. And God knows we need a big dollop of helpful on top of our pumpkin pie this year, you know? So, didn't mean to get so preachy and serious and stuff, but it's just, you know, always take the opportunities that present themselves. Even if you don't prevail in the vote count, you at least know that you've done something toward creating the future that you want to see. Because so much hinges on it. Now tonight, we've got fucking cartoon carnival with old what's his name.
That's perfect. Oh, that's perfect. Cartoon.
You know, you got
everything but the floppy shoes, the fright wig, and the big red nose. Well, he's kind of working on the big red nose. Well, it's a big orange nose.
Yeah, it's, and why we are going there? What I hope to God that the responsible media in this country, and I use that term loosely, media and responsible, those terms loosely, media and responsible. I hope they don't give a moment's worth of coverage to his big. First of all, what time is he supposed to do it? What is the venue? Is it
9 p.m.? 9 p.m. from right here, live from Mar-a-Lardass. Everybody tune in.
Is there going to be a pregame?
Oh, God, I hope not. Somebody can monitor MSNBC, and I'm going to be so depressed if they take it live.
But can they help it?
Well, I guess it depends on what the suits upstairs say. It's not news.
If
I had $5 to do it with, I'd put down a $5 bet that it's not an actual announcement of his campaign for president. It's going to be some kind of grift. Because he's still got a problem, Scott.
Oh, he's got more problems than good sense.
Well, he's got more problems than Carter has little liver pills.
Yes.
Now we're dating the program again.
Oh, that's how I learned how to count. I would get on Effie's little tin canister of Carter's little liver pills and dump them out on the floor and make designs. And it's probably what killed her. But, yeah, I... She got microbes and dust.
It's probably what killed her.
And when you get to that
Don't age, admit that stuff on air.
You're mid-90s. When you get to that age, microbes and dust will have a deleterious effect. I don't know. But anyway, you get my meaning. I just, you know, and it's not going to be an announcement. It will be an announcement. It will be a grift. But he's been stocking up on his anger and resentment and upsetness.
Oh, it's going to be, and I want to be careful how we talk about this, Scott, because I don't want to create interest. I'd rather just point out how godforsaken boring it's going to be, because it's just going to be the same old tired list of grievances.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a litany, a rerun at that. Oh, I've been treated so badly. I've been treated so poorly.
They better not indict me. I'm a presidential candidate now.
What's wrong with these people that I endorsed and campaigned for? Why couldn't they win? Oh, they did win. It was cheating. Oh, God, it's like getting married to your ex again. You know,
never having done that, I'll have to rely on you.
What would be the point in doing that? Because if things were dysfunctional enough, you know, for you to split up, why go back to that particular trough? You know, there's nothing. there's nothing but bad water down that well or something. I mean, and yet here we go again. It's.
Well, no, I suspect. I mean, I can't be certain, but I suspect that, you know, if unless there's been some kind of a deal where the RNC said, well, okay, we'll keep paying your legal bills, even though you're a primary candidate now. No. So, I mean, that's a maybe he struck some kind of a deal. I can't imagine. Well, but then again, we're talking about Ronna Romney McDaniel, right?
But the
thing is, you have to kind of, and it's an unpleasant task. You have to get inside his spirochete swirled noggin and sort of think like he thinks.
Oh, God.
It's ugly, and you have to shower with bleach when you're done. But if you think of it, no, this is just a new thing to add to the grievance litany. Namely,
they're only indicting me because I'm running for president, that I'm running to save America, make America great some more later, maybe, kind of, yeah, MAGA. They can't try me. They can't indict me.
And he's playing on the outside chance that maybe he could win and that would forestall any prosecution. He needs it. But the thing is, and I know you're familiar with outfits like this, the Club for Growth.
Yeah, they do the hair restoration.
No, that's Hair Club for Men, honey.
Oh. Okay.
No, the club, the big conservative right-wing economic conservative bullshit. And they came out with a thing the other day and said, we're going to lose our ass if he's the nominee.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The Republicans, by now, if they don't know enough, and far be it from me to give the other side helpful advice that they're not going to pay any attention to, but go with me. The last thing they want to do is revisit that adventure. And like I say, it's like marrying a dysfunctional former spouse or something. It's just a madness. Is in that direction. Danger Will Robinson.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Aliens approaching.
And God knows, waiting in the wings, there are plenty of wannabes on the Republican side. I don't mean to do anything or say anything that would make the way clear for them to pursue positions of power. But you mentioned the suits at MSNBC and CNN and all the rest of it. They don't think of it in terms of programming in the public interest, need, and necessity, although those rules I don't think actually apply to cable the way they do to broadcast stations. But they're not thinking. They're thinking, and, you know, is this going to bump up our eyeball rate and hence our ad dollar rate? You know, they're not in it for the service part of a TV outlet. They're in it for eyeballs and revenues. And I probably will tune in just to see how, you know, what crazy shit the guy says.
I know. I gotta get ready to be on the road tomorrow, and I'm gonna be packing. And but what I mentioned earlier about the Club for Growth. They released a new poll.
Look at that head of hair. I'm sorry.
And I can swim with it, too.
Yes, that's right.
It couldn't look any more fake if it had a chin strap. Repels water, rain, snow, and beautiful young women. No, they released a poll, the Club for Growth did, and it showed that Nitwit Nero, according to their data, cannot win the 2024 primary. It showed a double-digit lead for Ron Monkey Up DeClantis in Iowegia and New Hampshire stan. Monkey Up is also leading him big time, bigly, very bigly, in both Florida and Georgistan. So, wow.
Remember that guy who I think was in a position of power in Ohio, Kasich?
Yeah, John Kasich.
And like I say, I hesitate to even use the expression normal Republican, but he's closer to the way Republicans used to.
Well, he's a Republican you recognize. No, let's not use normal. Let's use recognizable. He's a recognizable Republican. He's not one of these misanthropic midnight shock theater Republican maggots. Brains. But no, you of those recognizably Republican Republicans, well, you know what I'm talking about when I say the people fingering their cigarette packs in the bunker.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think they've got the packs out and they're lighting smokes now.
Yeah, and their hands are shaking.
Because Chris Krispy Kreme, who once was said to have presidential timber, and who probably, you know, might have had a shot in 2012, but he got steamrolled by Bishop Willard. He spoke to, because I guess he was the keynote, don't know why, best they could do. He was the keynote at the Republican Governors Association meeting. And speaking to them, he told them that when he went to vote in the midterms, he rejected crazy. And then went on to say that Nitwit Nero cost the Republican Party several governor's races. And he pointed particularly to Doug Mastrocholi in Pennsylvania-stan.
Bald-headed stooge.
And then, of course, there's Kerry Lake in Arizona.
I kind of think that she should have stayed in her own lane there and just stayed in television. I mean,
yeah, but she read her own press. Somebody came to her and said, "Oh, you can be governor." See, there's a very famous scene in a very famous American novel called All the King's Men by Robert Penn Warren. The Oscar-winning movie with Broderick Crawford.
Yeah.
Was not bad, but it did the one that Sean Penn was closer to the book. But there's a scene in there when Willie, the protagonist, realizes that he's been used as a chump, that people came to him and whispered in his ear about how he could be governor. Only he woke up. These fools that listened to Nitwit Nero whispering in their ears, never did.
Well, I see, introspection is not a trait. You have to go way down the list in terms of Trump to find that attribute. I just don't, or his enablers, his handlers. It's utility. It's pressing on, with all deliberate speed, rules and regulations and morality be damned. We're in it to win it, and that's the flag under which we march with that crew.
And the hill upon which we die.
Yeah, and there's we're going to have to go, and I'm talking 2-year cycles here. A minimum of 4 to 6 2-year cycles and do stuff right along the way, correctly, decently, before we even see the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of cleansing our body politic of the virus of Trump.
Yeah, this is going to take a lot more than a cracker.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I guess I'm up for the task and the journey and stuff, but man, all of this was just so not easily avoidable, because people are going to go the way they're going to go. And when you've got a party, a national political party that's aging itself out in terms of relevance and ease of getting the message across, and aye, sir, we'll do whatever it takes. The younger people.
Yes, sir. We're going to look for those strawberries.
They're not the younger people, and even on the Republican side, they're not buying into the program with the Republicans.
Most of them aren't. I mean, you've got the weirdos and Turning Point USA and, you know, young Republicans and the like. But we've had our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening.
Okay.
I just heard from Micah up in Michigan, and she said, remember how Pike was doing the pirate voice, and Number One was like, please stop. You're talking about my nitwit Nero voice. She said, that's me right now. Una, to be clear, you're Pike. Please stop.
Was this the pilot, or was this something that followed the
series? That's the new one. That's the new Star Trek.
Oh, okay. Because I'm still not on Paramount. It is on Paramount, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
No, what? No, CBS. No, yeah, Paramount for the latest one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, I don't know. I skipped a few steps. I mean, I never watched any, other than the movies, I never watched any Star Trek franchise stuff beyond the series and the immediate follow-up movies. So would I be able to even keep track if I revisit, or in this case visit?
It's a whole new show. Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't
and it's, mean, it's I, magnificent. This is the new one, Strange New Worlds, is probably the best Star Trek since Next Generation.
The character.
Now I'm going to get hate mail.
Well, clarify this for me. The character Pike, is that the Jeffrey Hunter character that we saw?
Well, it was once upon a time.
The before years, before the terrible.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's not running around. He's not rolling around beeping anywhere.
Yeah, what color were the lights?
Yeah, red and green.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd think by that far in the future, but no, it was 1967.
No,
1966.
At Christmas time for Pike in his later condition, you said red and green lights. I gotta figure they hung tinsel and bowls.
Knew you were going there. I'm gonna get away from this before we get in trouble.
If you were out,
I had a notice. I had a note from Angelo in the People's Republic of the Bronx.
Hey, Angelo.
Angelo said, the Republicans are finding out what we in New York already knew. Trump is a loser who poisons everything he touches, and Joe Biden has the instincts of an old Irish machine politician. Pelosi and Schumer are old-school Tammany political animals in the jungle called Washington, D.C. And I think there's a lot of truth in what Angelo says. I mean, you know, y'all in New York, it sure would have been nice if you could have indicted him a couple of decades back, but, you know, back then he was thought to be a, you know, harmless, philandering billionaire.
Well, and see, well, that part of the problem there is the New York Post and the New York Daily News and the media types. He was entertainment. He was the comic strips on the front page day after day. The continuing story and the continuing antics and the divorces and the property settlements. And
Right, which is exactly why I said they may carry him this evening. If he sells the soap, he gets the screen.
Yeah. Well, I may have to tune in to spite myself, because I at this point, as a rational human being, I would be sitting here thinking, going into it, what could he possibly say or do that's going to redeem him in any measurable way?
There's just no interest in redemption. Redemption's not part of the program. This is just, I mean, it's a rerun.
Where I was going with it is like, it's almost they're trying to force relevance with this guy. That his sell-by date in terms of relevance is a date from long ago.
Well, see, since you're not a cook,
go ahead. I say one thing about Bourdain, and I'm all
since you're since you're not a cook, you probably won't the metaphor probably won't resonate with you, but it will with the food porn contingent of the Horn Family Community Congregation.
Now, be nice to me, or I'll stab you with
but
my meat.
But you mentioned his sell-by date, Scott.
I'm sorry,
Scott. Because, you know, you buy a half a gallon of buttermilk, and very few people ever use the whole half gallon. I'm one of the weirdos. I do. But he's that two-thirds of a half gallon of buttermilk that you bought sometime last June because you wanted to make cornbread. It's still in the refrigerator, and when you pick it up and shake it, it behaves like cottage cheese. That's how far past his sell-by date is, and I have just raised absolute hell with dinner in two different time zones, the central and the mountain. And Billable Rick's afternoon snack is just garbage now.
Shot all to hell. Yeah. But yet they persist. There's a cadre of them that think he's the cat's ass. You know?
Eyes on screens. That's all that matters in the early years of the third decade of the 21st century. Eyes on screens. Doesn't matter what. This is straight out of Idiocracy. This is a movie that's 2 hours long, and it's just called Ass, and it's just a single shot of somebody's ass. You've seen the movie?
No, I never saw Idiocracy.
Oh, no, we don't. You got to quit watching all those damn documentaries and watch something meaningless for a change.
Oh, I'm telling you, the one on PBS tonight is the second part of it. The two-part Frontline documentary. Let me get the title for you real quick. Hang on just a minute. Where the hell to go?
Oh, well, that's the thing with Idiocracy. Mike Judge said it 500 years from now, but it's actually a documentary about right now.
Water, like from the toilet?
All these great one-offs are totally lost on you, and it just breaks my heart.
No, I'm sorry. I was looking for the name of this. It's under the American Experience thing, Taken Hostage. It's about the American Embassy in Tehran in 78-79, and it's pretty well done. I was paying pretty strict attention to all that when it was happening, but I'm learning stuff. You know,
that was going on behind the scenes, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I'm going to send you a link. It's not going to do you any good in terms of broadcast use, but just for your own entertainment, information, and edification. It's a film that was commissioned, narrated by Orson Welles, like a documentary about Iran. And then they worked the Shah into it. And it's like a puff piece. You know, it was made in 71 or 72. And, you know, the splendor and the glory of that ancient nation, they pissed that away by putting the fucking religious fanatics in charge of things.
We cannot go down this rabbit hole. There's so much to the Iranian Revolution. There were democracy advocates in the Iranian Revolution who thought that maybe democracy might happen. Boy, were they wrong!
Yeah, but that's what I was getting at in terms of when you mistreat the people and beat them and put them on a device that burns them with electricity running through wires. You do this to your own citizens, your own people, whether they're your opponents or not. It's not going to play out very well for the power structure that encourages.
Reza Pahlavi and his pals in the SABIC didn't exactly make friends. But by the way, I saw a story just the other day. The Iranian high mucky muck whatever court has just handed down the first death sentence in regard to all of the protests that have been taking place over the mandatory wearing of hijabs. And, you know, that's on top of the extrajudicial killings that have been taking place all along, where, you know, teenage girls were found to have just whoopsie found their way to the top of a building and then, you know, fell off.
Yeah.
Butchers.
Well, anyway, bastards. The only reason I bring it up is so I'm learning stuff from it, and you see, that's the difference between me and a lot of people, you know, in the populace. They figure once you make it through eighth grade or high school,
you're done.
That there's nothing left to know. Well, that attitude is what gets us into trouble.
That's how you get here.
Always be learning. Always be questioning. Always be striving to advance. Always in a positive, workable way that, you know, it is.
But, well, you know, I mean, if you actually keep learning things, you might want to do something besides being, you know, you might want to be part of maybe more than 38% of people voting. You know, we'll have a high, you know, we have high turnouts in presidential election years, but we have shitty turnouts in midterm years, and that's where the mischief is made. That's why the numbers are the way they are.
Oh yeah.
And by the way, yeah. I had a note from Todd down South Carolina, Stan.
Hey Todd.
Hey Todd. Angelo is so right, and don't forget to add slumlord. True that. Absolutely true. Yeah. Donald Trump, high-rise hillbilly. Ugh. And, yes, so we had to have an obligatory response regarding, you know, since I hauled out a line from Idiocracy, Steve in New York says, it has electrolytes. Yeah, it's what plants crave, Steve. Lee in New York with a note, subject line, Scott, and you opened the documentary door and Scott walked through.
Oh, here we go.
Emilio said, damn it, Robin, I was drinking buttermilk with sugar just now. Okay, not really. Buttermilk with sugar? What? Emilio, what?
What happened to me, though, really, that I want you, since you brought up buttermilk, when I was a kid, I couldn't get enough buttermilk.
I love buttermilk.
And then a couple of years ago, I got a quart carton of it, a paper carton. And put it in the refrigerator, let it sit there for a couple of days, poured me a big old glass, and I couldn't get past the third sip.
Oh, I bet you bought some of that fat-free buttermilk garbage.
No, I deliberately looked for the buttermilk that had all the, just like we used to drink when I was a kid. It was like 4%, is that what the proper, yeah, that's what, because I specifically got that. But I just, maybe my taste buds have changed or something.
Well, and maybe it was the wrong time. You know, I know it sounds crazy, but an ice cold slug of buttermilk when it's blazing hot outside, heavenly, just heavenly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe I'll try it again in the summertime.
And Ron in Raleigh is tormenting me. He sent me a link to, he said, here's some equipment for you, and sent me a link to some Japanese kitchen knife porn.
Japanese kitchen knife.
Oh, they're pretty. Oh, they're pretty.
You know, in
you could
Japan,
do sushi with these. Oh, the black. Oh, the black blade. Ooh,
in Japan, the hands are used like a knife.
It's true, but you can't do the same with a tomato.
Oh no, no.
No, Brother Deacon Asa says since you're always about always be learning. Would you be interested in learning a thing or two about sous vide cooking?
What cooking? Sous-vide?
Yeah, that was a Brother Deacon being a smartass.
That's funny, sous vide.
No, not sous vide, sous vide, SOUSVIDE.
What is it? How is it? Who is it?
Yeah, it's too much to explain. It's cooking low and slow, in like a plastic bag in boiling water, or not boiling water, but I'm even getting it wrong, but it's heavenly. Everything sous vide is nothing short of delicious. Scott, I'm going to roll, because a couple of people have indicated an interest in getting into the program, and Well, and if you're going to take one for the team, take one for the team. You can report back. Because I'm not going to watch that adipose wad of waddling grievances and petty hatreds.
But you'll play clips.
Yeah.
Tomorrow or the next day, not tomorrow, but the following day.
Well, now I have to try this. Emilio says we actually drank buttermilk with sugar when we were kids. All right, I'm not past trying it. Okie doke. Right. Scott, have yourself a good evening, my friend.
Robin, you too, and Horn family, I hope that the rest of your week and the rest of your month are just tickety-boo.
And who can ask for anything more?
And why would you?
Right. Be good, okay. Scott.
See ya.
See ya. Bye. And by the way, just a quick reminder, we got the fundraising goal down to $1,075, which is awesome. Surely do need to get it down some more if we possibly can. Thank you, Ralphs, for the challenge, and thank you, Roger, for answering it, and thank you, Lady B. Thank you. And there's Lady B. It's 30 degrees here, and I'm fucking freezing my tits off. I like my tits. I kicked in 420 because that's what time it's about to be here in the Rocky Mountains. Enjoying the show. Keep it up. Someday you'll be famous. Oh, someday. It reminds me of the trip to New York with Chris, and Ferg was with me, and we were getting ready to go to a museum, and we weren't sure where the entrance was, and we split up. And Chris saw me, and probably about 100 yards between us, and she hollered, "Hey, Bob Kincaid." And this random New Yorker looks at me and goes, "You're Bob Kincaid?" I went, "Well, yes." And walks over and starts shaking my hand. "Darn glad to meet you, Bob. Welcome to New York." I guess he thought that Chris recognized me. I hope I never forget that. That was a beautiful thing. Let's run over to the stress line, see what's going on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey there, hi there, ho there.
Hey, what's up?
Well, you know, I was listening to you, Scott. Hey, Scott. And it tickles me. You know, these people, these damn election deniers, if you don't believe that the elections are fair, why are you running for office?
Damn good question. And the fact that all of these elections...
And the
Republicans who won their elections in 2020 on the same ballot that they claim the election was stolen from Nitwit Nero?
Right.
Was your election dirty,
too? I don't hear Lindsey... Right, because I don't hear Miss Lindsey or you know, the tortoise crying about that because they won. So you can't have it both ways. You know, what is it? That dog don't hurt. Because you can't claim that the election was fraudulent if some of you won. Because if that means if the election was fraudulent, then Lindsey Graham and Mitch the Turtle McConnell shouldn't be, you know, should they?
Oh,
you know,
Mitch's numbers. And you know what? Mitch's numbers were weird.
Right? But here's the thing. Are they the Clarence Thomas of affirmative action?
Yeah, for me, but not for thee.
Right, because you know he doesn't consider his law degree, you know, because if it had to be, you know, for affirmative action,
his law degree was
I wouldn't have gotten in.
Yeah, his law degree was devalued because he was an affirmative action admission.
Uh huh.
Oh, by the way,
forgetting
you'll get a kick out of this. We are a judgy lot. So Emilio, who did not grow up in the United States and has mentioned that fact, Emilio says that he drank, that as kids, they drank buttermilk with sugar in it. Well, Lady B was right there. Sugar in buttermilk? Next you'll be telling me you put sugar in your grits. Fucking monster.
No, it's the grapes in your potato, the raisin in the potato salad.
Well, you know, I meant to tell you, Tracy. I meant to tell you.
Oh, no.
That I've been telling people
okay,
about
what?
The I've been telling people
about great supremacists and the
I've been telling people about the health benefits of eating dried grapes. I'm raising awareness.
That hurt. It pierced. It paid. It's gonna leave a mark.
See what I did there? Raising awareness? Ha!
Raising awareness. Ha! Bitch, please. Yeah, because I had to. Are you trying to get me back for the pictures that I sent you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, by the way, is the Enchirito out at Taco Bell yet?
What's today's date? Is it the 17th?
No, okay. So we got a couple more days to go.
Is it terrible that I am looking forward to the 17th of November?
Because you get your Enchirito
so
back.
But it's only for a limited time. I'm like, you mother.
Yeah, well, it's like the McRib.
Oh, who gives a frick about the McRib? It's not even cooked. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm about to piss people off. Because after all these years, I finally tried a McRib, and I was instantly angry. I'm a black woman who grew up eating ribs, and that was an abomination. I'm like, people like this shit? Man. It has to be wonderful because I've been, you know, how many years has the McRib, you know, it comes out a certain time of the year, and people covet it. Oh my God,
But this is McDonald's, and they put that obnoxious McFlurry shake out every March too. Or the green one? Yeah, the green one. Ew.
Right. Ew.
Oh God! I'm all over the wrong side of Lady B this evening. Raising awareness, Robin. I suppose you thought that shit was punny. Brother Deacon Asa has done consigned me to the hot place. You're going to hell for that one. Yep, murder hornets.
Oh my God!
What was that?
Oh my God!
We were talking about something a couple of nights ago, and I was thinking, wait a minute, I could put raisins in that. I know what it was. It was the sweet potato croquettes for Thanksgiving. Because, you know,
glad I'm not coming to your house. I am so glad I'm not coming to your house for Thanksgiving.
I'm going to make them. I'll have them on the table at the next horn-in, and I ain't telling you.
I just spotted raisin 20 miles away. Don't try me, bitch. No.
So the sweet potato croquettes, you know, you mash up your canned yams until they're, you know, mashed. And usually we dump in, like, couple of the, you know, the small tuna fish size cans of crushed pineapple. And
Wait, hold up. So not only are you putting raisins, but now you're throwing in pineapple.
Well, I've never done the raisins before, but that's what I was thinking about. I could add raisins. And you take the marshmallow, you take your whole marshmallow and you wrap it up in the sweet potato, and then you dip the sweet potato in melted butter, and then you roll it in crushed cornflakes, and you put it in your bacon dish. And I was thinking, you know, raisins would be really good in that.
I think you're doing this. I think you're really doing this just to mock me. But that's okay. You are really earning your white card.
I'm just thinking of all the ways that raisins can be so good. Raisin awareness. If I don't get a check we got a $1,075 fundraising hole, and if I don't get a check from SunMade at some point, I'm going to be pissed.
I mean, all this talk of raisins, and I'm mad too. I mean, product placement. I just, because see, okay, so let me explain myself about what you were just talking about with the, you know, the pineapple, you know, aside from the raisins, because we will not even speak on raisins right now. But see, nobody, because this whole, you know, with the marshmallows in the sweet potatoes, that's not something. And I'm not speaking for all black people. I'm just talking about the Porter. I'm going to name all the last names of my family: the Porter, Johnson, Ellis, Jones, Hall, English contention of my family. Because ain't nobody, okay? I'm going to say it one more time. And I'm going to say it like I'm speaking with more laughter. Ain't nobody in my family ever had a marshmallow anywhere near a sweet potato.
You got to be kidding me.
Okay. I don't know a lot of black people who do. And like I said, I'm not talking about...
I don't even like marshmallows. I don't. We have discovered in recent years that they are the best. They are the best cat toys ever devised.
I mean, the only thing that for me in mind that a marshmallow is good for are s'mores and Rice Krispie treats.
Well, okay, but I mean, you'd have to have the sweet potato croquettes, and you put the marshmallows. You know, there's a marshmallow inside every croquette, but you put the marshmallows on top, and you bake them, and they get so brown and crispy and gooey, wonderful.
To see in my folks, this is how we do sweet potatoes, and I need a consensus of the black folks, because now I got to know how, you know, like you said, like the lady B said, last thing I know, you said you put sugar in your grits, and then we just got to fight. But so for me and my folks, this is what goes into sweet potatoes, okay? That, you know, also known as candied yams. Okay, or candied, you know, because, you know, it could be a sweet potato or yam, whatever the case may be, but it's all about the same. I know. So, there will be butter. There will be brown sugar. There will be white sugar. There will be nutmeg. There will be cinnamon. There might be some allspice just to kick it up a notch. And there would, did I say vanilla yet?
Yeah, I think you
did. Yeah. Those are all the things that should be going in some sweet potatoes or candied yams. But that's just me. Now, I know Lady B is... Now you got me doing my Southern preacher.
No, I'm like, Lady B already chimed in. Subject line, Tracy. Looks like we're going to have to snatch back her cookout pass. Raisins is an ingredient. Made me clutch my chest. Lord have mercy. You're being cruel and hateful now, Robin. Jesus, spare your blasphemy for those who hate, not the ones who love you. Lo, I stand at the door with a box of sun-made raisins and knock.
But I need
and to hell, get... I ain't even arguing for the white raisins.
I can't say it. Damn it.
By the way, you are a fan of mob movies.
Yeah, you?
Yes. Well, I just got a note from Kevin in Massachusetts. Kevin and Tracy. Hey, y'all. Noting that Kevers McCarthy, man of silly putty. We talked about it earlier in the program. He got nominated to be speaker, so it's the happiest day of his life.
Yes, I saw that.
But the thing is, it's accompanied by a picture of him smiling like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. There's a cowbell involved in this. And that's for Kevin. He said,
He looks just like a beaming Joe Pesci after his mom sent him off that morning in the movie. So I'm putting up a $30 Kevin McCarthy the Made Man challenge.
Let's go with analogy. Because we know what happened to Joe Pesci.
Yeah, that line. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
So there's a $30 challenge on the table, which would get us almost down to $1,000, which is huge. And it's the Kevin McCarthy the Made Man challenge. God, Kevin, that's perfect.
What do they say? What do they say? Be careful what you wish for. Well, here's my take on the whole, you know, Nitwit Nero, Ron Lucky up to Santas thing, okay, about, you know, 2024. This is my take because, you know, I'm still a neophyte when it comes to politics, but there's stuff I remember. And I'm hearkening back to the 1992 election. And Ross Perot threw his hat in the ring. And so what I'm thinking that if the Trump family, you know, does not win the primary, he'll just run as an independent.
Possible.
And what will happen? It will split the vote. Because not that, you know, and the same thing happened with Gore and Bush the second when Ralph Nader, I know it more than about anything. And the you talk about the call capacity of it all with Ralph Nader running and splitting the vote in the Democratic Party in, 2000? That part. I mean, like I said, there's things. Because for me, it's somewhat recent history, and I just get excited that I remember things that just didn't happen last night. So, because I mean, and that's only if he's not in jail. But the fact of the matter is, you really think he's going to sit it out if he doesn't win the primary? Come on, player. Look at who we're dealing with.
I would not be upset about that. You know, Nitwit Nero.
I mean, am I wrong in thinking that?
Well, I mean, I mentioned that the other night. You know, he could accept the Constipation Party's nomination if he loses the Republican primary. Sure. I don't see how that's not a possibility. He could never go back to being a Republican again, I guess. But he's got to have somebody near him. Maybe even he himself, who understands math, at least on the level that I do, that would just split the vote and give Joe Biden a second term. I'm certainly down for that.
Well, that's my point. That is my absolute point. It's the fact that, let's see, remember, he doesn't listen because
he can't learn.
He doesn't listen. He can't learn. What was the I'm going, you know, back in the day when your grandparents, or in your case, that's probably definitely your parents, said, I'm going to learn you. And at the time, it would have been, boy, I'm going to learn you. That's
and the past tense is spelled L-A-R-N-T, learn.
Learn you. You know, when somebody tells you, you're going to get learned, I'm going to learn you. That's when you done fucked up, buddy. Because see, you've been told over and over and over again not to do something.
Yeah, and it's often followed by go and cut me a switch.
Right, and don't come back with no twig, because then grandma gonna go out there and uproot a tree.
Right, because we know that Richard Pryor bit. Don't bring me back one of them measly ones, because then I'm going to have to go cut my own. I'm going to get a good one.
Okay,
that part, you know. Okay, ma'am. So it's like, so I am now sitting back, you know, for the next 2 years, I'm sitting back and just eating the popcorn, but enough of these assholes. for what we need to do for the next 2 years. Because, see, I don't know what it is. You know how you guys are talking about the abysmal numbers of the voter turnout? Here in L.A. County, y'all, it's a one-way street, you idiot! Let this hair fuck! Sorry. Here in L.A. County, I think the entire county of Los Angeles, 23% turnout. And see, here in California, as Scott knows...
Wait, 23%?
Yes!
That's embarrassing.
This is unacceptable. Considering in California, today it's just people that are doing stupid shit, just pulling out in front of a bitch and just wanting to get hit. Okay, see, I don't want to go to jail, but see, these motherfuckers are still making get out and snatch a bitch. But anywho. Sorry.
Well, listen. You know, wait. It's time for a check-in. It's like when you're at the plant entrance and it says we've had this many on the job days without a work accident.
Yes.
How many days since you've been dragged by your cab?
Okay, so we're going on now, let's see. 21. We are now going on 23. Now I got to math. See, shit. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 25 days, y'all. Since your sis got drugged, because a cab can't drug me. Who was the asshole that clocked me on my grammar? I'm like, motherfucker, I'm in pain, and you gonna clock me on my damn grammar? That's why we can't have nice things. Right there. I'm in pain and in shock and all this there. And somebody go, no, you know you can't be drugs. I'm like, oh. This is fine. So 25 days, y'all. Since I got trapped, it's the little things that keep you happy. But, you know, but the thing is, I keep thinking about, our country and the Democrats. And we need to start, we all hate the campaigning. We just, but we have 2 years. Because as we both know, the House is like, even though they have a razor thin margin, it looks like the Republicans are going to take over the House. Okay. So is there such a thing? So in the House, do they have to have a supermajority and shit like they do when we try to do shit in the Senate?
No, different animals.
Or do they just have to have?
History time. The House.
Oh God! It's Robin's history moment. Brought to you by Sun Made Raisins.
Yes. the House of Representatives had a filibuster too back in the 19th century, and then they got rid of it, because they realized they couldn't get anything done, and then they brought it back, and then they got rid of it again, still in the 19th century, because they realized there was no way that they could do their constitutional duty and have a filibuster. But it has hung on. It has hung around like a bad penny in the Senate, not in the Constitution, nowhere to be found, and, the single most anti-democratic thing in day-to-day governance in the federal legislature. By the way, you started it. Jimmy in the Great Northwest said marshmallows. Hey, y'all, long time since I last contacted. Growing up, the two sides of my family, Louisiana and Alabama, we didn't have sweet potatoes. We had yams, and they were candied with marshmallows. So there's that. Then Barbara jumped in and said, tell Tracy I've eaten sweet potato casserole with toasted marshmallow toppings since I was a young child. I know many other black people who do, too. I remember it becoming popular in the 50s. Maybe it's something that people in the East eat. My family and relatives came from Virginia, South Carolina, Georgia, and North Carolina. So we got, well, we got pretty much the entire South. We got Virginia, South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina, Alabama, and Louisiana. The only ones missing are Tennessee and Kentucky Stan and Arkansas and maybe Texas. But I'll bet, I'll bet you if I rang up John Britovo, because he got Louisiana roots.
John Britovo ain't white. Okay. Like I said, I named my folk. LA via Arkansas, Louisiana, and Missouri. So there.
Yeah,
so,
see, it's the Arkansas Missouri thing. They probably didn't have Arkansans and Missourians probably didn't have the recipe for marshmallows. It's like when you go to Europe and you can't get a glass of ice water. It's because they lost the recipe.
They lost the recipe for ice. Mm-hmm. So here's the deal, Sweet Pea. Because like I said, remember, I qualified this shit. I qualified it with the people, the black people that I know.
You name checked your family.
Okay, I brought receipts. I called, and if you take part of the Simpson contingent, part people, those are the folks that my mama married into, and those Negroes are from Mississippi. So. And I ain't seen nair. And now, I am married to a white woman, okay, who grew up during the 50s, and she ain't never had no marshmallows in her yams or whatever y'all do, that casserole bullshit. So see, now I'm bringing other receipts, because now I'm bringing in the white Jewish folk from that came over from Russia. And
them Russians definitely didn't have the recipe for marshmallows.
No.
Lady B's back. Yeah, Tracy. Raises hands slowly. We ate marshmallows on our candy yams, too. Mom from Arkansas, Dad from Mississippi.
Again, I just called out the black folks that I know, and I did not speak for the entire black contingency. But like I said,
got me worried about the cookout, though.
Again, like I said, I've been to plenty of black folks' homes over the decades, and I promise you, I've never ever. And again, this is. Now I got the Georgia component with my sister-in-law from Macon, and I ain't never seen no marshmallows nowhere near her sweet potato candy yams, whatever. Never. And not to say, now, I have to say, because I do like me some roasted marshmallows. Don't get it twisted. I am, there's a lot of things about whiteness that I don't like, but marshmallows are not one of them, okay? I have no problems with marshmallows, okay? Especially, like I said, with me some s'mores and shit. I'm there. I even got a special s'more cooking implement because I'm me and I'm bougetto.
Yes, that is a very bougetto thing to have.
I'm bougetto. So, I'm not going to just do anything on, like, a wire coat hanger. No more wire coat hanger! Because, Joan Crawford would be really upset if I had wire coat hangers in my house. So I see your eyes have rolled all the way back to your neck and back. You know what?
Rattling like marbles.
But no, actually, it was really cool. Of course, they were by Hershey's, and it was like kind of like a little paddle, kind of. You know how you have those, you know, when you grill fish on the griddle or the grill?
Oh, yeah.
Fish
yeah,
on
yeah,
the grill?
Yeah. And
so it's kind of like that. So you put, you know, so you could do the whole thing, the marshmallow and the chocolate and the graham cracker all at the same time. And it gets a nice toasted thing going. So, yeah, okay. But like I said, and now I am curious about the marshmallow on the yam casserole. Because, see, I love yams. As a matter of fact, the other night for dinner, what did we have? Yes, we had pork chops and applesauce. No, there was no applesauce. But pork chops and baked yams. And, of course, I have me some little brown sugar, a little cinnamon, and some butter with the pork chops. So, know that was tasty.
You got to tell me, are you gonna do the mac and cheese? You know, the homemade, the baked, you know.
Okay. So, there's a bunch of people here in Los Angeles, California, that is very upset with me because I will, you know what Janet and I have made or making for Thanksgiving this year?
What?
Reservation.
Girl.
I'm not cooking. We're going out. We're going to the, now, we are going to Universal Hilton, and they have the most amazing buffet that you want to slap your mama. I mean, I'm just waiting for the carving station. You know what I'm saying? Now, I told my nephew because of my sister and, you know, because I have basically told my family to fuck off because they're fucking with me about this, my sister's celebration or homegoing ceremony. And now motherfuckers want to start, you know, having, you know, opinions and shit. And I'm like, so your girl had to lay down the law. I'm like, this is what is not going to happen. Okay? I have made all other fucking arrangements. The only thing I want from you motherfuckers is the fact to help to pay for this shit. That is it. Because everybody's like, we can bring a dish, we can cook. I said, fuck you and fuck everybody else that's thinking about this shit. Because here's what's happening. Tracy Michelle Porter, that's me, just in case y'all didn't know, is not only working fucking damn near full time, but what am I also doing, Robin? What am I doing?
That would be pursuing a master's degree for $1,000, Alex?
Okay.
Zombie Alex?
Okay, so, right. So, this whole thing is taking place on December the 4th. And 11 days, let's see, December the 4th. So the 12th of December is technically my last day of school. So everything that I'm working on has to be done by the 12th of December. So I said, if you think you are motherfuckers is going to come to my house and cook in my kitchen and leave my house a fucking mess, you got another goddamn thing coming. Okay? Because now what are you, and I won't say what I said because I know how you, there one of you gingers are going to come in my house and clean up. And I'm not going to, I said, I'm married to Jan, and y'all know how she is. So why are you trying to make this shit harder? Yeah, I have to go there. I you know, because I told, you know, I said, y'all keep forgetting, because like the two people that's making the most noise about what we should do, them bitches don't work. They're retired on disability. So, y'all ain't coming to my house and tearing up my house and leaving me with having to do papers and shit and then say, bye, bitch. No! Am I being awful? Because you know I can be awful.
No, you're not being awful at all. But you know what makes me think of, Tracy?
What?
My last Thanksgiving.
What happened with your last Thanksgiving?
Absolutely nothing.
Yes, that's right. Because yes, it was quiet.
And I couldn't.
You didn't have no rigmarole.
I couldn't get out and drive around yet.
Right.
And
were you home yet?
I don't remember.
Were you home?
No, honey.
You were still in Alabama.
I was maybe 2 weeks post-op.
Okay, right. So and, what did you and Annette do? Wind up doing? Did you guys have take it, take out?
She just fixed up some little something, something out of the kitchen because,
because y'all had a kitchen.
Because nobody was delivering on Thanksgiving Day.
Right.
Thanksgiving and Christmas were two of the sweetest days and simplest days of my life. Okay. of my life to that point. On Christmas Day, we were on the road. We were driving from Florence to made it up to Lexington, and there was not a blessed thing open. And so Christmas dinner was bread and oil and grated Parmesan cheese in a motel room.
What, no raisins?
No raisins. In a motel in Lexington, Kentucky. And it was just...
Wait a minute. There was no Chinese restaurants open?
Nope.
Either?
Nope.
Not like on Christmas story.
No, honey, we're talking about Lexington, Kentucky.
I know. I'm just being stupid. I know this. You know, back in the day when Alex, you know, when it was just me and Alex, our Christmas tradition was we would go see whatever. You know, it started with Lord of the Rings. Because, you know, that trilogy, you know, it came out every Christmas. So we would go to the movie, and then we would pick, you know, whether it would be Thai food, Chinese food, or what have you, whatever would be open, and we would go to dinner, right? And so it became a tradition because I wasn't cooking for a bunch of people and stuff, and it was just nice. You know, it would be lunch. Because we would go to the first showing or whatever we were going to see on Christmas morning, first showing. And then we would go to lunch and, you know, come home and do the Christmas gift things, basically me buying gifts for Alex. And then we maybe go out later on that night or have something delivered because guess why? I live in civilization. Don't eye roll me. Don't.
It's not nice.
So now I need for you to sit. I'm not going to mess with the croquette thingies because that just sounds too time consuming. So I guess somebody needs to send me a recipe with the things, and there will be no raisins. If I see one recipe with the yams or the candy, whatever, and there's anywhere near a raisin anywhere mentioned, I don't even want to see a fucking advertisement for the raisins. You hear me?
Well, you're the one talking about raisins in front of your cell phone. You're probably going to get a 500 ads for raisins.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn. Oh, damn. That part. But anywho, now I'm curious. And I'm even now kind of curious about the yam croquette.
Oh, you can leave.
With no raisins.
Yeah, no, I was only kidding about the raisins in the first place, just to devil
you. No, you weren't.
Yeah, well.
No, you weren't. You weren't.
They are, it's like, you know, there's an orthodoxy that attaches to these things. And they are what they are. I mean, there would be ill will attached to any raisins in those sweet potato. The pineapple is okay because it just adds a little bit of extra sweet and tart. But no.
What are you calling a tart?
Yeah, quit that. Don't be awful.
Takes one to know one.
Clarence. I don't know if Clarence is on the road or down in South Carolina, Stan. But Clarence says I have seen marshmallow yam combo dishes at church dinners and church dinner sales. My early years in the 50s and 60s were spent in the church basement after almost every Sunday service. So,
I You know what? When I'm thinking, the thing I'm thinking about the marshmallows, especially in the 50s and the 60s, because, you know, I just miss being a baby boomer by a hair's breadth, because baby boomer ended in 64 and Gen X started in 65. You know, the charge, everybody's chart is different, but I'm solidly a Gen Xer because I was born in 66. But I, you know, because I grew up all, around all these people that were born in the 40s and the 50s, you know? And so marshmallows, I don't know, was it the crack of those decades? Because marshmallows in every fucking thing, man, especially Jell-O molds.
Oh, no. The late 50s and early 60s are a nightmare of Jell-O molds and Aspix. Dear God.
Aspix! Oh, dear God! Oh, God!
I mean, I hesitate to say it, but I have seen... I've seen Aspix made with plain gelatin and Miracle Whip. Mm. I know. It's awful.
I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. I got to keep this down because I'm driving. And it just hurt my heart.
I know.
Did you know what? Okay, because I know you made that announcement a couple of weeks ago about the woman that did Julia and Julia passed away. So did you ever see that movie?
Oh yeah.
When she cooked her way through and she got to the aspic and she's just like, what?
No.
It was in the book.
No, there's like, and I love tomatoes. Lord God knows I love tomato aspic. No, never.
Well, remember I told you that my grandparents, my paternal grandparents, are from Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, and see, the more you know about history and, you know, and you put it in context of your family and the family dynamics and the diet that we had growing up. I mean, you know, that when I would go visit my grandparents and spend the night or what have you. Tomato and bread casserole. And see, now I know that's just, that's just a product of the Depression. Because you did what you had to do. You know?
Kind of like fast food ketchup packaged tomato soup. I get it. But oh my God, I just did something I wish I hadn't done. I typed my browser, I typed bad Jell-O molds.
No, it's not like bad Santa.
Sorry. Oh, it's worse. I'm looking at a Jell-O mold here that's made with shrimp and sliced boiled eggs. I'm not all right.
Oh, I'm not all right. Speaking of shrimp, I went to this place. It's called Mr. Fry Man,
mm-hmm.
or Fry Guy. I just got the plain chili cheese fries, but they do these, and I love it because this is one of these businesses that was born out of the pandemic, and now they're a franchise. They started, the brother, and on top of the fact it's black owned, so that just makes me even happier. So the brother worked Sunday through Thursday. From like six, I guess he would get home. I forget. He worked at Pepsi. And as soon as he came home, he would start cooking. His wife would prep and stuff while he was at work. And then he would go on Instagram and put out today's menu. So he had this one. It's like fried French fries is, you know, give me a word that's just beyond wonderful. Just, you know, and so, but then he does these things like shrimp and cheese and chicken and cheese and
that's why I'm waiting for Secret Sandwich to open back up. I just want my French fries with my pimento cheese on it. That's all I want.
Oh, and by the way, I mentioned pimento cheese to my mother. Because I said, well, am I being just evil you know, dragging Robin for the pimento cheese? She said no.
Cora, how could you?
Oh, speaking of my mom, what's today's? Okay. So I got a challenge. Okay, so yesterday was my mom's birthday and also my father's birthday. They were born, and actually, scary enough, Prince Charles's birthday as well.
Oh, dear.
My dad was born in 47.
I don't think we can have a British Crown Jewels challenge.
No. I'm just doing the numbers. My dad was born in 47. Prince Charles was born in 48. And my mom was born in 49. And so I'm going to do happy birthday, Mom. 1949 was a very good year. $24.50 challenge.
Okay.
No, wait.
Yeah, that's 49.
Yes. That's 49. $24.
Okay, so we got $54.50 worth of challenges on the table, and that would get us down to $9.75, which would be awesome. In the 10 minutes remaining in the program,
I'm trying to get you under 1,000.
That would be helpful. We're sweating here. There's no doubt about it. We are.
I have a reason, because I think you got that mail the other day. So,
yes,
we can't. Okay. So we need, now here's where Tracy goes all prophesies and all. Look at here now. We need Robin. Okay. We laugh and joke a lot about stuff, but the fact of all the, just like I keep saying it, in the decade now that I have been listening, over a decade at this point, that I have been listening to her show, I have become more politically aware than I thought I would ever become. And because it is not just me, I have, tell a friend and they tell a friend and they tell a friend. Because of the stuff that I have learned, I have made more people aware of just how important voting is. I have talked to people, I have talked down people with this from the talking point and made people start investigating stuff. I have learned this, I didn't learn this from Robin, but when I took poli-sci a million years ago and I had my poli-sci teacher, one of the things that I learned was, about the propositions there in California. And he's like, don't even bother trying to read the propositions. Scroll all the way down to see who's funding the motherfuckers. And then research them.
Right.
And that will tell you whether or not you should vote on how you should vote on this proposition. But because, this is something that I've learned. But then this is something that I've told other people on this show. Look, I know the average motherfucker on this listens to this show. We some smart people, but we don't know everything. So it's good that we have this platform that we can talk about the stuff that we talk about, and we can, we can agree to disagree, like whether we put sugar on a raisin on stuff and, stuff like that. And, wait a minute, before I forget, we're talking about food. Robin?
Yeah, yeah.
Sugar or salt on your grits?
Sugar and grits?
You're taking too long to answer.
Sugar and grits?
There are people who do that.
Well,
Don't make some cream. If you want some sugar on some hot stuff, on a hot white cereal, go get you some cream of wheat.
You want to know what kind of you want to know what kind of hardcore I am? I went, it was a few years ago, but I went I went searching on that website. I don't even know if you've ever had this Ralston hot cereal.
I've heard of it. But I've never had it.
Yep. It's a different animal altogether.
Oh, but I forget what it was we were doing, but Lady B stops, subject line, stops cleaning loud enough to yell, no! And adds, don't forget the Jell-O mold in the movie Christmas Vacation. The aunt made hers with green Jell-O and dried cat food. Oh! Oh!
No. Oh, we've grossed out the entire Horn Family Community Congregation at this point.
And now we are now moving into the 5 o'clock hour in California on the Pacific Coast. So there are people.
And the challenges, I mean, are, the to, challenges listen, are doomed. And just as I said that, Clarence jumped in. So there's $5 remaining on the Kevin McCarthy looks just Kevin McCarthy made man Joe Pesci challenge from Kevin and Tracy in Massachusetts. $5 to go on that, and then the $29.50 1949 was a very good year challenge. So we so that's a total of $34.50, and both challenges will be met, and they badly need to be. Thank you, Clarence.
Yeah. Thank you, God. I just, you know, and back to what Lady B said, one day that you will be famous, but you are famous. You're famous for us. And, you know, and I talk about you all the time. I just want you to get the following and the accolade and the financial security that you deserve. Because when I, you know, I have just given up on MSNBC. I didn't really watch it that much anyway, but when they fired Tiffany Cross, I'm like, and that's it. I'm done. You know, and so we have, it tickles the fuck out of me when people talk about the mainstream media, the left-leaning mainstream. I'm like, fuck y'all. It's to get some decent news and not have it be, you know, twisted all the fuck to the right. And we have that. You take stuff, I don't even want to know about the preparation that goes, how long it takes for you to prepare for a show. This is your job, this is your life, this is your calling. And you should be duly compensated as such. I think about, I don't know if you heard, but there's a strike going on the UC campuses of the associate teaching staff, of the teaching, of the teacher's aides, of the grad student research.
Yeah,
students.
Because they're living the lives of indentured servitude.
24,000 dollars. And I'm like, fuck that. My professor yesterday in class, we were talking about the militarization of the police. And starting salaries here in L.A. for LAPD is about 120-something thousand a year. He's like, I got a goddamn PhD, and I don't make that kind of money. So the people who do good, the people who teach your children, the people who take care of, you know, your older parents or the infirmed or what have you, the people who keep this country running don't get paid what they're due. Robin does not. I mean, and the beautiful thing about her is it's not about profit for her. If she's you know, this is the third, I have seen four people walking on the freeway today. What the entire fuck? Okay, but anywho, she is doing us a great service. She does not have to do this, but she has a love of her country. She has a love of our family, and she wants to do everything that she possibly can to for us to reach, you know, that more perfect union. But she can't do this worried about whether or not the lights are, because, you know, by the way, you know, this is all on the internet, so there's people she got to pay. She got to pay the internet people. But before she paid the internet people, she got to pay the electric people, because she can't, if she don't pay the electric people, she ain't going to have no internet. So it's just, you know, it's a rolling, it's a domino thing. If you don't pay this, you don't pay that. This don't get done. Come on. No, she should not. And by the way, none of this is behind a paywall. You know, there's shows that you can only listen to the first hour of the show if you're not a subscriber. And, you know, and you have, if you have to listen, if you want to listen to the other 2 hours, you got to pay money. this is not the case. Now, no, and we go. Never, I know we're going into the holiday.
We have never charged a dime. Nobody.
Never, ever. So think again. If everybody in the Horn family, just one person, every other of us, I'm not a big coffee drinker, but just, you know, because I don't care about it. But on occasion, I go to the Starbucks and the coffee places and spend $5 or $6, $8 on a latte. If we all just did that once, if we contributed that money, just one latte a week toward Robin, she would be pretty much okay. So again, that's a, oh, and on a sad note, remember when Michelle Obama was in, I mean, Barack Obama was in that White House? See what I did?
They both were.
I voted for Michelle, but anyhow, and the over 100-year-old black woman who was just, you know, and she danced with Obama and all that. She just passed away yesterday. She was 114 years old. Yes, she was either 114 or 113 when she died. But I just think about when she went to the White House, I guess she was like 108 or something like that, or, you know, around there. Can you imagine? So that meant this was, so he was, in, I don't remember what year it was, but let's just, she was born in the 1900s, you know, early 1900s. And she, as a black woman, lived to see the first black president in the White House. Her, you know, you got to think this woman, her parents, at least, or her grandparents were enslaved folk. You know, like I said, I don't know her story. But she, you know, she was born, and we hadn't been that far out of from the Civil War. So you think about that and just the joy that she had to be in the, not only in the White House, but to be dancing with the first black president. Come on, player. So it's those things, those these beautiful things that we have been witness to, that we can no longer be witness to if, A, we don't have people like Robin out there talking about the importance of voting and getting involved and stuff like that. And worst of all, just mostly just being a participant, being an active member of this democracy. So, come on. I'm hoping to, when I listen to the show tomorrow, I'm hoping now, I know the challenges are going to be met, but I'm hoping that the overnight folks will have chipped in as well. So I know it's 5:02, so I don't want Podbean to get in your ass about rolling over. But I just want to say I love you, and you, my dear, are fucking amazing.
Thank you.
And no matter what anybody, always remember, always, but no matter how hard it gets, no matter how bad you feel, always remember that you are loved and cherished and adored.
That matters. That really, really matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank mm-hmm. you for it.
So anyway, have a wonderful night, baby. I love you so much. Y'all give her some money, goddammit.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, y'all give her some money, goddammit, because you know I got to be stupid when I...
By the way, Clarence in his message said, happy birthday to Tracy's mama and daddy.
Yeah, my dad died. You know, my dad died in 2000. He died 20 days after 9/11. So he's been gone now for 21 years. So it's actually was his heavenly birthday. That's even a thing. But, you know, I still love him. I still think about him. So that part. So anyway, good night, y'all.
Well, before you go, I thought I'd share with you Lady B's note. She said, the lady who danced, God rest her soul. She was born during segregation and Jim Crow. Do you know how momentous that meeting was? She saw her great-grandchildren's future in Obama's eyes. I wish I could donate on her behalf. brethren, sister, and siblings donate on her behalf. Thank you, Lady B. Thank you so much. And, you know, I was there. I didn't get to see the inauguration on January 20th, 2009, but I was traveling to D.C. that day. And that was the first time I'd ever been on D.C. Metro. And I got lost. I got lost. I wound up out at National Airport when I was headed for Capitol Hill. But it was okay. It was blistering cold. And I was carrying my broadcast rig on my back. Of course, this is all pre-transition. But I was, and the Metro was free that day. It's free. It's always free on Inauguration Day. And what I thought of when Lady B wrote, she saw her great-grandchildren's future in Obama's eyes. The Metro train I was on, every Metro train I was on, was filled with black parents holding little bundled up toddlers in their arms. And, you know, me being a journalist and everything, I felt, you know, I talked, I've interviewed people, didn't stick a microphone in their face or anything, but, you know, you don't have to always do that. And without fail, everyone said, I brought my baby out in this cold today so that she could see history made. And that when she's an old lady, she could say, I was there on that day. My daddy carried me on his shoulders. And obviously that was, golly, that was 13 years ago. 14 years ago in January, and it has stuck in my heart and in my soul. Beautiful moments. Beautiful moments. So, just that. Just that. Tracy, have a great evening, dear. Where'd you go? Well, that being the case, we'll wrap up the program. A little bit of overtime, but I don't think I have to worry about it with Podbean simply because we won't be here tomorrow. Back on Thursday, Thorn in the Side Thursday. Thanks, everybody. I hope the rest of the challenges get met. Thank you, Clarence, and thank you, Roger, earlier. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Tracy. Thanks to each and every one of you, our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this long-running discussion, howsoever you may choose to do so. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Roger and Steve and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, head on .live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster and your flu shot. Wipe down your surfaces. Help fight RSV. Really get your flu shot. It's burning the place up here. I need to get mine. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Wear your mask when you're out among the great maggot unvaxxed and unwashed. Use your hand sanitizer. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And if some guy with a big grin on his face comes down an escalator towards you saying, I'm going to be the speaker, avoid that guy like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.